First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, back, everyone. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we always like to remind you of Alan's motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to some repeat guests about the amazing historic things that are going on and get their general reaction. And we've got that opportunity, well, always too. But here we have next up and opening the next hour, Kenneth Abramowitz, founder of SaveTheWest.com, a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself. He's the author of The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. That about covers it. Ken, good to have you along on the Alan Nathan Show.
Great to be with you.
Well, people have asked me where I was on Saturday night when we found out that our country and Donald Trump, decisive leader that he is, was attacking with bunker buster bombs Iran's nuclear capabilities. Now, several days later, much has happened. The situation is quite fluid. I'm going to just give you the floor to talk about your reaction and where you think we are right now.
Well, by the way, I'm in Tel Aviv. So everyone in Israel was
oh my.
Very excited, very excited.
Wow, you've got a lot to tell us. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. About that spectacular day when finally, after 46 years of listening to nonsense from the criminals running Iran, finally someone did something to blow up their nuclear weapons, their enrichment capabilities, and so that was great. And Israel before that blew up most of its missiles. And missile launchers, not all of them, but most of them. So it was a joint venture between America and Israel, and a great success story. So I'm very proud of both countries.
Well, so fast forward 3 days, which seems like 3 weeks, there was a ceasefire declared, which was kind of an interesting a slow process, relatively so. And Israel immediately said that Iran had broken the ceasefire. And now Trump, as he heads to NATO, his NATO meeting, has said that the ceasefire is back in operation, shall we say. What say you about what happened, say, in the last 24 hours and this declared ceasefire? How do you feel about it? What do you think is going on in general? You think it'll hold?
Well, I was very disappointed about the ceasefire. Israel was a week or two away from demolishing Iran and demolishing its government and liberating its 90 million population. 80% of whom want to be friends with American Israel. I would have let them fight it out because Israel was destroying Iran in front of our eyes. One of the reasons why I say we have to save ourselves, we have to save Western civilization from ourselves, is this is a good example. America and Israel blow up Iran, 85% of all the targets, and then surrender and then give up instead of going to the last 15% because it's not politically popular to go after the last 15%. And so this is a classic example of why it's difficult for Western civilization to win, because we don't pursue our enemies until unconditional surrender, as we did during World War II.
Well, I think it's reasonable, being both an American and a Jew. I speak from that position, which, of course, two Jews, three opinions, so I'm only speaking for myself. But it's reasonable that Donald Trump, while he has shown absolutely that he is pro-Israel, pro-democracy, small d, big D, whatever, that his first commitment is to the United States of America. I think he wanted to demonstrate to all of the naysayers, including Tucker Carlson and a good many Republicans, that you can do a military action and not have a protracted war. Isn't it likely that Israel will have people on the ground in Iran that will help the Iranian people overthrow their own government? It's not up to America to do it. That's where all the corruption seems to come from, are these wars in which people may get rich on other people's suffering and misery.
Yes, and another element of America First is that America does the real difficult stuff, but the regional or local allies are expected to do 90% of the work to defend themselves.
Correct.
And America comes in when something special, like, for example, blowing up the Iranian nuclear sites.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes. But President Trump says that he hates endless wars. Well, if you don't defeat your enemy and you always stop fighting just before you defeat them, you guarantee endless wars. So President Trump inadvertently is causing Israel to be in an endless war with Iran instead of letting Israel finish them off. And I think that that's unfair.
I think that that is totally a reasonable point of view, and it doesn't surprise me that you say that, especially since you're in Israel on the ground. Let's shift a little bit and talk about what your experience is there. I don't want to lose the opportunity to talk to you. You're there on the ground, Tel Aviv, where bombs are dropping or were. Tell us what you see and what you're experiencing now.
Well, I was, in quotes, a victim of those bombs, not a direct victim, just a participant victim. So every night at around 3, 4, 5, or 6, you'd get a little alarm on your phone, ding, 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 and you jump out of bed, you put some shoes on, and you walk down in an apartment building on the 10th floor, and you have to walk down 10 flights, and you meet the other 40 people, everyone in their pajamas, you know, at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Hanging around for 20 minutes until the little announcement on your phone goes, okay, it's okay to go back to your house or apartment.
Wow. How many times did you do that in the last few days?
Roughly once a night for roughly 10 days.
Wow.
So it wasn't pleasant, but people did get killed.
Yeah.
Roughly 25 people were killed.
Yes.
1,500 people were injured. Something like 10,000 people are not in their homes. So
yeah.
It, from a country point of view, it was a big deal. From my
yeah.
little personal point of view, it was just an inconvenience at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, the Israeli people, I mean, you're clearly American. I can tell by your accent. You're not, you know, not born yeah. in Israel, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was born in Boston and lived on the East Coast all my life.
Yeah, and so you made Aliyah, and you're there 24/7 permanently, or are you visiting have two homes?
I have two homes, and I'm here in Israel for 3 months out of the year. And so this was a pre-planned trip from a long ago. We knew there was a high chance that we're going to be stuck in a full-scale war, but we psychologically we were prepared for it, and I wouldn't trade my experience with anybody.
It's astonishing. I've often said Israelis make New Yorkers look like wimps because they are so tough, so strong, so battle-hardened. I wish we had more time to talk about American Jews. I think we've talked about it before. And some of them, I'm sorry to say, because I am one, really are wimps when it comes to standing up. And now, well, American Jews are being, they're being demanded to do so. I've got less than a minute, though. So tell everybody how they can find you, follow, read your book, and we'll have to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, sure. They should go to my website, savethewest.com. Sign up. It's complimentary. I write an article every 2 weeks. We'll get the article. And buy my book, the fourth edition of The Multi-Front War.
Be safe, and I hope to talk to you, and you'll have many more stories to tell. Thank you. Well, we're going to stay with this topic a little bit with Fedor Litvak, who's a humorous, let my people laugh, and greatest Jewish jokes of all time. We've talked to him before, but there's lots to talk to him about. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Being a soldier, it's always fun for us when the month of June rolls around, getting to celebrate the Army birthday. I think for this year specifically, it's sort of extra special as we celebrate, you know, a quarter of a millennium of service here, 250 years of, you know, the Army's story of service, its lineage, its history, its traditions. Throughout history, 250 years, the world has changed so much. The challenges have changed. The battlefield has certainly evolved. These uniforms that the American soldier wears have certainly changed many times. One thing that we like to believe has not changed, though, are sort of the timeless values of the American soldier. For myself and many like me that serve in our present-day Army, getting to get up every morning and put on this uniform, we like to believe, you know, paying respects and in homage to those that came before us and paved the way so that we could have the Army that we do today. Heading over to GoArmy.com would be a tremendous place to start, or for a younger crowd, Instagram also works. Any one of those would be a great idea to go find out more.
Pickleball is the country's fastest growing sport and has increased 311% in popularity over the last 3 years. So how do we stay fueled and ready for action on the court this summer? Sports dietitian Dawn Jackson-Blattner shares her advice.
I'm teaming up with Eggland's Best to power up pickleball players with great nutrition. Eggland's Best eggs are packed with nutrients that help you stay energized and promote muscle recovery. Before a match, try my portable protein cookie bites or whip up a crispy quinoa omelet for post-match performance. Both are made with Eggland's Best eggs, which have 6 times more vitamin D, 25% less saturated fat, and double the omega-3s compared to ordinary eggs. They're the nutrition powerhouse to keep your game strong. Now through July 15th, you can enter the Eggland's Best Pickleball Power-Up Sweepstakes. Enter daily at ebfamilysweeps.com. No purchase necessary for a chance to win exceptional prizes like $5,000 plus EB and lifetime pickleball gear.
You can enter once daily at ebfamilysweeps.com.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we're delighted to have back with us director, producer, and humorist. He is the author of Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time, and director of the upcoming action film Guns and Moses. Sal Litvak, thank you for joining us.
Taryn, great to be back with you.
Good to have you along. So not that there's anything happening newsworthy either to Jews, Israel, America, or the world. What have you been experiencing lately, and what do you want us to know before I start asking specific questions about what's been going on in Iran and Israel and where we're at now? What do you think is most important that has been your strongest thought? Because there's many, 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 I'm sure.
Exactly. Where do we begin? I mean, since we last spoke, and it was only a week ago, I think there's been a whole war.
Right.
Opened and ended and won. Thank God.
That's true. It's true. A whole war. That's it. Next.
So, apparently Jews under attack who fight back, which is what Guns N' Moses is about, is a timely subject.
Yeah, it is. You see, you're ahead of the curve. Although I have to say, it's a story that is part of the Jewish people in our history for thousands and thousands of years. I think it was you, maybe, the last time I talked to you, said they like us. They don't like us when we have a home. They do like. They don't like us when we don't have a home. You know, it doesn't really matter. Now, at the risk of having a persecutorial complex, what do you think is going on now? We've got threats in America, and anti-Semitism is at an all-time high. In my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen it this bad. And yet, Israel is kicking some butt, which, of course, makes people mad. So, you know, let's first talk about Israel and Iran. Were you for the ceasefire? Do you think they should have just been allowed to take care of business, or what?
I mean, we're talking about the ceasefire with Iran. Let's see how long it lasts. I mean, Iran violated immediately, right? They never entered the ceasefire without violating it. But listen, I think the whole world is safer if the number one state sponsor of terror does not have nuclear weapons. I mean, that's not complicated math right there.
It is for most American Democrats, but that's beside the point.
It's unreal.
Unreal,
you know. I mean, because I shared videos about this. I talked about how much better off we are. And people comment to me and say, oh, yeah, well, Iran was complying with this negotiation to remove their nukes. Are you kidding me? They've never stopped building their nukes, developing their nuclear weapon. The only thing they'll do is say, oh, you want to negotiate with us? Great. While you're pausing and thinking about what you want to say to us, we'll work harder to get a nuclear weapon built so we could deploy it and fulfill our dream that we chant about every day, death to Israel, death to America.
Right.
Now we took out their facility and they say sleeper cells. We're going to activate our sleeper cells in America, God forbid. Well, why are there sleeper cells in America? Could it be that we had an open border for 4 years and that allowed us to get people in here?
That's not it. That's not it. There are Democrats now saying, oh, no, there might be sleeper cells here. Well, where did they come from, Mr. and Mrs. Brilliant? Where did they come from? The last 4 years of open borders, completely unvetted open borders. Sal, let me ask you, I just previously had a guest who happens to be in Tel Aviv right now. He says he was against the ceasefire because he says if Israel doesn't take care of business and he was angry that Trump stopped them from taking care of the whole situation. What say you about that?
Well, first of all, we have to take care of business. We have to get the hostages out. Let's not forget them. But I also think it might be – there's four-dimensional chess going on here. There's always more than meets the eye.
Yes.
And if you think about how many, you know, Iron Dome and Patriot system missiles we use to shoot down all their ballistic missiles, a ceasefire might not be the worst thing to just reload those systems. Before we go in, to make sure it gets done. Yeah.
Well, and what we saw was this amazing kind of diversionary tactics, which are all's fair in love and war, and especially in war, that there were these feigning disagreements between Netanyahu and Trump, which later turned out to not be so. Like, a case in point was when Netanyahu said, well, we can take care of all of it on our own. If U.S. decides not to get involved, we can destroy their nuclear sites, even the one that's 250, 300 feet underground. Most people, including me, said, that's not true. They know it. But it was a great diversionary tactic in order to help people see daylight between the two, because we've got a lot of really questionable Jew haters in this country who say that Israel is directing American foreign policy and, oh, I won't die for Israel. Nobody asked you to die for Israel. And yet it's a very ugly kind of incitement that's going on in America right now that I think Trump is taking into consideration. Nobody tells Trump what to do. It's clear. It's obvious.
Nobody puts baby in the corner and no one tells Trump what to do.
Yeah, right. Right.
And it's a horseshoe effect, right? This far left and far right, the woke left and the woke right, can agree on a few things. But these are the same people that said, you know, World War III would erupt and all hell would break loose if we finally moved the American embassy to Jerusalem. And what happened? Nothing happened. You know, we just recognize that the only Jewish state and the eternal capital of the Jewish people is Jerusalem, and nothing happened.
Who knew?
He's proven them wrong over and over.
And Sal, I just got a couple of things. Can you stay for one more segment?
Sure.
I love when you say yes. I happen to have an open segment just for you so that we can continue this, because we only got about a minute and a half here in this one. What do you think about Tucker Carlson? What's your thought about Tucker Carlson?
I used to like him a lot just because he asked tough questions. I feel like he really turned on us. I wonder what's going on, who is funding him. Why did he have that kind of sudden and explosive exit from Fox? I don't know. I don't really know what was going on behind the scenes, but maybe it's on the way of Candace.
I don't think, I doubt that they got rid of him because of the way he's behaving now. That I'm not sure about. I mean, for me, it's a perfect example of how someone can be smart but dumb. I mean, Tucker Carlson is a smart, smart guy. But when you have tunnel vision and you're applying an ideology to a situation before understanding that situation, you're able to not see the forest for the trees. There's another thing I wouldn't mind getting your thought about with regard to Tucker Carlson, because there's a couple of these people. They're entitled to their opinion, but notice they've kept it under wraps until now. We're going to keep talking to Salvador Litvak. Maybe we'll get some good Jewish jokes too along the way. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for staying with us. And we'll be back with Sal Litvak right after this on The Alan Nathan Show.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are talking to Salvador Litvak. Sal, director, producer, humorist. He's the author of Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time, and the director of the upcoming film, action film, actually, Guns and Moses. Hi, Sal. Thanks for staying along.
Here, Karen. Who are we talking about? Who are we going to dissect next?
Before we dissect them, tell everybody about this movie of yours, Guns and Moses.
Guns and Moses is the story of a beloved rabbi in a high desert small town who becomes an unlikely gunfighter after his community is violently attacked, starring Mark Feuerstein, Neil McDonough, Christopher Lloyd, and Dermot Mulroney. It opens in theaters across America on July 18th. This is a very rare movie, an edge-of-your-seat thriller that does not offend the values of half of America. You're going to love it. You're going to respect it because it respects you. And if you want to see more movies like it, you got to come out and vote with your feet on July 18th. Come out opening weekend.
That sounds great. If it's about Jews fighting back, then isn't it going to offend somebody's sensibilities?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
If you haven't offended somebody, have you really done anything?
That's what I mean. I mean, I'm hoping you're going to offend somebody. You know, especially the people who are trading their Mexican flags for their Iranian flags and their so-called Palestinian flags. I mean, there's the only flag that they refuse to fly is the American flag. They hate that one. They hate that
one. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
especially the LGBTQ plus crowd. You know, we're the only country that respects those rights in the Middle East is Israel, and that's the country they're protesting against. I mean, there's never any logic to it.
No, and I guess we could dissect that one, because what is LGBT XYZABC rights? It's not the right to be approved of. It's the right not to be harassed or have a crime committed against you because for any reason. So, the left has succeeded in making people think that your rights are being violated if people disapprove of you. There's no such right, right?
Or if they just don't care, or if they just don't care, you know, if they just don't care. I do believe that we're having a wonderful redefinition of this garbage that's been shoved down our throats for the last 30 years. And people are finally getting to where Reverend King wanted us to be, that we don't judge our neighbors by the color of their skin or their opinions on politics or the slogans on their T-shirts. It's just how they act in a crunch. Who's reliable? Who's open-minded? The content of their character. Who's funny? Who do you want at your dinner table with you? That's all we care about. And that's how Americans are. I mean, it's a very common sense country at the end of the day. And these loudmouths are getting less and less attention, thank God.
Well, it is. And you gotta know that there's a political agenda behind that incites hate and discontent among the forever aggrieved, right?
The forever aggrieved. That's exactly right. The victim Olympics.
Yeah. And then there are nuances to that because, one could say, well, Jews are forever aggrieved. But you know what? Mostly Jews have tried to keep their heads down. The left doesn't think Jews are a minority, number one. And number two, Jews are always trying to keep their heads down and say, well, you know, if I don't make too many waves and I join the politically correct or whatever, then maybe they won't hurt me. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's an interesting overlap there. Let's go back to Tucker Carlson. What else do you think about? Go ahead.
What's he been saying? He was a huge opponent of going in and getting involved in Iran. But then even he was forced to admit after it was so successful. And now there's a ceasefire. He had two-word answer. Thank God. Okay, I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, and then he went on to go after Mark Levin again. saying that Mark Levin is really unhappy now that there's a ceasefire. I just wonder, well, I'll tell you what I think is really going on. And this is obviously speculation, but, okay. But Tucker Carlson is a relatively new Christian. I think he grew up in Episcopalian, whatever. The last 4 years, really, really horrible stuff that has been happening before Trump got there and was elected on November 5th, drove people to their religion. Tucker never really grew up with very much religion, so he started reading the Bible for whatever the reason. And I don't think he's an anti-Semite, but I do think that he has that bias, a very underlying bias that Jews are somehow, I don't know what to say. He's more like the kind of Christians my parents knew. You know, it's not that they were all anti-Semitic, but they basically thought that, I guess they thought Jews were cursed and ought to know their place. There's something else going on.
There's definitely, I can't really comment on the beliefs of Christianity, but what I see in my own experience every day, because I teach Torah every day. I teach an hour a day, Sunday through Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, Fridays at noon, Saturday after Shabbat ends. And I teach a page of Talmud every day, which is to say the unbroken oral tradition in Judaism that stretches all the way back to Mount Sinai. We have 1 million followers on Facebook at Accidental Talmudist. The joke book emerged from my Jewish wisdom platform, Accidental Talmudist. We have 1 million followers on Facebook, 300,000 more on Instagram and other platforms, and probably half or a little more than half are not Jewish. They tend to be Christian, and they are fascinated by people who take the Bible seriously, right? The religious Jews, Orthodox Jews like me, who are completely invested in connecting with God through the tradition and through study, you know, have a lot to offer as people who are connected to the Bible and want to connect with God. That's why we're a Judeo-Christian country. I mean, we share values and we have so much to share with each other when we break bread and get honest, right? And so it's always a superficial understanding of that tradition that leads people in the wrong direction, but further study and commitment to it, you know, leads us to the brotherhood of Christians and Jews.
Boy, Sal, you know, you just dropped tempting tidbits here to talk about in a variety of other ways. I have experienced that some Christians aren't real happy with Talmudic study because they I'm not sure I am either. I don't know if I should even go there.
I can address that quickly.
Please do.
The Talmud is vast. It's absolutely vast. It's a record of conversations among our sages, literally over thousands of years. And it records the voices of thousands of sages. So to say that here and there somebody says something that offends you or that you don't like is to be expected. And it's like saying, well, I dismiss all of Shakespeare because there's a wicked character here or there who says something terrible. Yeah, so what? I mean, he's just one of so many voices in a vast body of work. But what the Talmud is all about and why it's a pillar of Judaism is that we're given a law book, the Torah, 3,000 years ago, that is an eternal law book, but that is necessarily terse. And so how are we going to know how to apply, you know, the laws of murder or of compensation or of honoring parents while the world keeps changing, technology keeps changing, nations keep changing? To have a system that would be able to answer new questions in every age is what the Talmud is all about.
Right.
And so if there's a voice here or there you don't like, so what? There's so much else to learn from.
Well, it's commentary, and you could liken it to the Constitution that makes amendments. I just wish that there would be a statute of limitation on some of them instead of, you know, the continually growing commentary and rules. That being said, we probably lost some of our audience there. I think it is interesting that Christians study with you. Let's just sort of wrap up with your other, boy, are you busy? I mean, you sound like Donald Trump. You're busy, busy, busy. And talk about your book, Greatest Jewish. Well, look there. The best we can do is have people go to your website and find your book and your film. And you talked about that. How do they do that?
SalvadorLitvak.com. And Let My People Laugh is a bestseller on Amazon. You can get all the jokes right there. Let My
Wonderful.
People Laugh.
Wonderful. Boy, are you talented. You do have so many irons in the fire. Thanks, as always, for joining us here on The Alan Nathan Show. We appreciate you. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to wrap up the show. Looks like we did a real Israel Hour. We'll do one more after this.
Whether you're looking for a relaxing getaway, a family-friendly adventure, or a magical experience, a cruise could be the right choice this year. Travel expert Jeanette Seha has some inspiration.
I love cruising because it offers the opportunity to experience adventure while only unpacking once. With a Disney cruise, for example, you get three vacations in one, seeing the world while also enjoying the luxury of a hassle-free ocean cruise and the magic of a Disney vacation. All Disney Cruise Line ships have been designed with families in mind, with spaces and entertainment dedicated exclusively for kids and adults to enjoy on their own, and even more for families to experience together. There is something for every member of the family. The entertainment is second to none, with Broadway-style entertainment on board and spectacular fireworks at sea. Disney Cruise Line has more ships sailing out of the state of Florida, plus ships sailing right now in beautiful Alaska and Europe this summer.
It's not too late to book your summer travel. For more information, visit DisneyCruise.com. When you or a family member are diagnosed with a chronic illness, everything can change, and caregivers learn to manage complicated care schedules on top of their own daily lives. Tricia Fitzgerald is a mom who's been managing treatment not only for herself, but also for her husband and their six children, all of whom suffer from some type of chronic illness. She explains.
Raising a large family is challenging with busy schedules, school functions, let alone when everyone has a chronic illness. So it's important to make sure you have a strong support system. Managing so many medications for eight individuals can be daunting, but CVS Health is my rock. Anytime I have a medication or insurance question, I know who to call for guidance or answers. CVS is a huge corporation, but it feels more like a small-town pharmacy down the street where we've known each other for years, and that makes such a difference when I'm managing care for the chronic conditions my family faces.
For more information, visit CVSHealth.com.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. We're pleased to have one more guest, and this was sort of an inadvertent theme, I guess, because of the Israel and Iran situation that we've all been watching for about the last 12 days. Here to continue that from a different perspective, and that is the October 7th massacre that happened in Israel a year and a half ago. French-Israeli filmmaker Pierre Rehov joins us. His latest documentary, Pogrom, traces the malign forces that enabled the October 7th massacre. His new bestseller in France, October 7th, La Riposte, October 7th, The Response, warned that after Hamas, the Hamas massacre, Israel would inevitably be forced to strike Iran, a prediction that has indeed come true. On the ground in Ashdod, Israel, I don't know if you're in Israel now, but thank you, Pierre Rehov, for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me in your station. And yes, I'm still in Israel. I'm still in Ashdod, which is about 20 miles north of Gaza. So let's say I'm really in the heart of what is happening.
You are. Why don't you first talk about you write, or I've seen that you say that it's, we're sheltering up to five times a day. What do you see on the ground right now, and what do you need us to know about your experience currently?
Well, first of all, I'm married and I have a little girl who is 2.5 years. And I don't know if people can understand how it feels when at 2 a.m. you have an alarm, an alert. The sirens are, screaming, and the bombs are exploding in the background, The dogs are barking out of fear. And then you have to rush with a little one who's asleep to the bunker that everybody has in his house, which is a special room which is made of concrete and metal and resists most of the attacks. So this is what we've been living through, not only in the last 12 days, but also it's nice that you mentioned it, a little less than 2 years ago after October 7 massacre, because not only there was a massacre, but also Hamas was targeting cities and civilians every day, all the time, and we had to rush to the same bunker for months. This time it's been only for 12 days, and apparently there's a ceasefire. So tonight might be the first night after almost 2 weeks when we can sleep through the night, and when the little girl is going to be also able to sleep through the night.
How do you feel about this ceasefire? I've talked to people on this very program, one of whom said he was against it because he wanted Israel to finish the job. It's not as if Iran could be trusted. We've been dealing with this terrorist state for almost 50 years now. And others are saying they understand the complexities of politics, and Trump still has to deal with people here home. Where are you on all of that?
I would say I'm in between both. At first, I'm kind of happy that there is a ceasefire because of my personal situation and overall the situation in Israel. And people who are in this position are right to say that the situation is very complex. And my job is to analyze those complex situations. And I understand how President Trump has been managing the situation until now, and especially after the campaign that got him into the White House, which was a campaign about peaceful strength. By talking about peaceful strength, this is exactly what he's been doing, with the Houthis. He said, okay, you're bombing us, you're a threat to the boats and all to the ships and all that. Okay, we're going to take care of it. After a few bombings of the Houthis in Yemen, they kind of showed the sign that they were ready to, not surrender, but pretend. Because, the problem with Islam, with all those Islamists, is that they do not want to surrender. They are always looking for a ceasefire because it is in their culture. You have to go back to the 7th century and Muhammad, their prophet, who was always fighting this way. He was going to a place, and the people, if he was weak, he would call for a ceasefire, then he would wait for more soldiers to come and to be strong again, and then he would put an end to the ceasefire by attacking from within. It's very cowardice. The culture is very cowardice. Those people are always targeting civilians, and we are always fighting 10 against 1. And once you have a real army in front of them, there's nobody left. There is only people whining and screaming and crying and lying. And this is what has been happening with Gaza. And after that, with Lebanon. And now it's happening with Iran. They are always the same posture. They are traitors by nature. And we have to observe exactly how things work and all the mechanics involved, which is what I am doing. I trust President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. I'm not sure I'm happy with the ceasefire in terms of completing the goal of getting rid of the regime. But, Iran is a country of 91 million people. And it's unless we start a real war, a total war, which means boots on the ground, Israeli boots and American boots. Unless we do that, there is no way to topple the regime in such a big country. So what is the other solution? The other solution was to try to calm down the game. Israel needs also to rest a little bit. People are exhausted here. Soldiers are exhausted. Pilots are exhausted. So for that reason, I welcome the ceasefire. And I know also it's not going to last.
Huh. Yeah. Well, ignorant, arrogant leftists in this country superimpose their ignorance onto Iran and others and attribute intentions to Iran that they do not have. On the other hand, Trump stated quite clearly it was not his goal for regime change. I think that my greatest hope and wish is that the Iranian people will take back their country with the help of others, but not through a war, that through Israeli intelligence, they who put down the first protest against the regime, which took great courage, was our 44th president. That's when I knew we could not trust him, because he was on the side of Iranian regime. It was terrifying. Gosh, I wish we had more time. How can people find you? And we wish you the very, very best. Pierre Rayhoff.
If you want to watch my film in English, go to pogroms.info. Pogroms with an S.info. We will have all information about it. Okay?
Pogroms.info. Take a much needed rest. Also, we stand with you. I do. And we'll see what happens. We have a great American president now that stands for freedom.
We do.
Thank you. Thank you, Pierre Rayhoff. We appreciate it. That does it for this show.
You hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.